Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Morena, Penny.
Morena, how are you?
Good, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
We're continuing our kōrero about uniforms, and we're talking all things school uniforms today.
Yeah, I thought that this one would be a pretty interesting one, given that it's, you know, the start of the school year, and I kind of feel like there's two camps in school uniforms, like ones who really agree with it, and ones who think, no, this is too expensive, and it takes away freedom of expression, and, you know, imposes kind of gender, you know, gender on people and stuff like that. So, yeah, and also it made me think about, you know, when I went to school, which was, you know, about 300 years ago, and, you know, we had different uniforms for things like PE, and at my school I had to wear a blazer, you know, generally, but in PE we had we had these things called rompers, which were really, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they look like baby rompers. Like,
oh, that's,
you know,
criminal.
And I just remember being, you know, having to run past the boys' school and being so embarrassed.
PE,
you know,
is like miserable enough when you're at school. You don't need a romper as well.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, a romper is like, the front of it is kind of like a pleated short, and then at the back it's elasticated. so, you know, it just sits under your knickers. It's just, it's not good. But yeah, so I thought I'd go into the history of school uniforms. So basically, they originated in England, and it was to signify charity, discipline, and social class. So in 1552, Christ Hospital School was the first to adopt a uniform, and this school was a charity school. So it wasn't an elite private school, it was for low-income families, and they wore blue cloaks and blue uniforms, and very bright yellow stockings. And they wear the same uniform today at the school, but it's now considered an elite school. And prior to that, like, what's interesting is in Europe, like, the earliest kind of record of a uniform was the Archbishop of Canterbury mandated a robe-like outfit called a Kappa Clausa, which standardised academic dress. So in Europe, they wore big robes, but in England, it was more military kind of focused. And in England, many older schools retain their traditional uniforms. There's a school called Dame Allen's that has a polybell bonnet, and it's like this weird kind of, I think it looks like the flying nun kind of hat. And they still wear those for special occasions. And like at schools like Harrow, they have to wear straw hats when they're public facing. So they still have to wear those every day. There's things called tam o'shanters, which are like, they look like berets and they have pom-poms on the top. And they were for boys. And then girls wore things like starched aprons and collars. And then in the 19th century, it was kind of like uniforms were more widespread, enforcing kind of class and gender. And of course, in the 20th century, the uniform tradition was expanded due to British colonisation. So, you know, New Zealand, Australia and Africa. So in New Zealand, they first entered here in the 1800s, and they were always influenced by British military dress, tailored jackets, lapels, neckties. And like there's, Te Papa says, school uniforms were designed to impose order and ideology, but can also empower wearers with a sense of pride. And I think that kind of like sums it up, you know, like it is kind of, there's always this discipline around a uniform. There were always rules, but people kind of always go to school and break them, you know. I guess, you know, and also some of the fabrics, like, you know, you have a winter and a summer uniform, or at least I did when I went to school. And, you know, the classic kind of gym frock was the standard for a long time, and wool and tartan. Summer uniforms are kind of, you know, cotton and that sort of thing. But they can be itchy because they're not necessarily, you know, the nicest fabrics that are kind of, yeah, that are used. Yeah, the other thing that's quite interesting is that in the US, most public schools did not require a uniform. It was kind of only private schools, because you know, the US favored a tradition of personal dress expression, and there was an increase in uniforms in the 1990s to reduce social pressure, bullying and violence. And this was kind of promoted by Bill Clinton. He was very into encouraging schools to adopt uniforms. But of course, there's been a lot of law cases because people say that it's a, you know, dress codes are a form of speech. So enforcing people to wear uniforms is, taking away their freedom of speech. Mm. The pop culture aspect is quite interesting. AC/DC, Angus Young, of course, wearing school uniform. Britney Spears, and oops, I did it again. Mm. Older listeners will remember Grange Hill. The BB describes their uniform as the cast looking like they're in a smash hits photo shoot, which was a kind of like popular 80s kind of teenage music magazine. And of course, later there's also Gossip Girl and Sex Education. And, you know, when you see it on TV, the people that individualize it, it always looks cool, you know. But the reality, I think, is that, you know, you can't really get away with doing too much at schools because they do impose these uniforms. But it's nice to see that, I guess, in New Zealand, people or schools are looking to their students to help create, you know, and design the uniforms so that they can have, you know, more options in what they want to wear.
Mm, for sure. I feel like the biggest sort of issue on lots of people's minds as well is definitely the cost, right? It costs so much money, and during, you know, the times that we're in, people are struggling to make ends meet as is, that it begs the question whether it's really necessary to be spending this much money on a uniform, which a lot of kids don't even want to wear anyway. But I know that there are some schools that are sort of helping to mitigate the costs a little bit in some ways. Like, is this a thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you always have the school shops that, you know, clothes are always, you know, reused, sold in the stores secondhand and that sort of thing. But then that kind of goes against that hiding kind of class and background, because, you know, people can see sometimes when clothing is secondhand, or if people choose to buy, you know, which is, you know, what I think is pretty obvious, you'd buy bigger clothes because your children are growing so quickly. Mm. So you don't want to have to update the uniform all the time. Mm. So I think that schools do always do have a kind of sense of kind of charity and helping out and that sort of thing. But I guess the elitist schools would be a little bit different, but general public schools would be a little bit more lenient, I would like to hope, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, it's like this kind of catch 22, like the uniform is there for people to wear every day. But then if you've got, if you're wearing your own clothes, then there must be pressure, you know, especially as a teenager and as you're coming into your own tribe and that sort of thing, there must be like competition in clothing and that sort of thing. You know, like I remember that from high school, but I didn't necessarily fall into that because I went to like a uniform school and then I went to a non-uniform school. Mm. But, you know, by then I was already kind of wearing all black and all that sort of thing. So I had my tribe, but I imagine for people that don't have that, it can be pretty competitive.
Yeah, for sure. You've definitely stirred up some corduroy in the texts about rompers.
Really?
You've taken a few people back. Someone just goes, ah, the romper. And then someone else says, holy mother, I had to wear rompers too in 1970s. Also remember the black woolen wide pleated tunic.
Yeah, that's the gym frock, and that was really common in New Zealand. And it's kind of a it's kind of a weird one because I remember, like, once I left school, I always wanted to find one because I thought they were really cool because I didn't wear that kind of uniform.
Yeah.
But I can imagine they would have been, because they're pretty heavy, you know, and I know, like, there's versions, like, that Nom D has made and things like that in the past, and they kind of look cool, but, yeah, like, they would totally take you back to being at school.
Oh, so funny. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, the jury's still out on school uniforms, but every day I thank God I'm just not a teenager anymore.
Yeah,
so if there are any sad teenagers out there wearing school uniforms currently, just know that it gets better.
it definitely gets better, and, you know, you can just, one day you'll be able to wear whatever you want, and it's going to be awesome.
That's the one. Hey, thank you so much, Penny. So lovely to chat again, and we'll catch up with you next week for more uniform chat.
Thanks so much. Bye.
There. Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.